It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Now to turn our attention to cricket, and joining us is White Fern star and opening bat, Susie Bates. How are you doing, Susie?
Yeah, good morning. Good, thank you.
That's a story, mate. How are you settling back in? I know you haven't been back in the country long after your WBBL season.
Yeah, I got in last night, so then I gave everyone at the WBBL a couple of days at home because we've been on the road since the Commonwealth Games. So it was nice to say hi to the family and then get back on the plane. And yeah, this morning back with the group, which is nice actually. It's been a while since the White Ferns have been together, and obviously it was after a pretty special moment at the Commonwealth Games winning bronze, so it's nice to see everyone.
Yeah, and it's a pretty steady group, isn't it? I mean, there have been a couple of changes, but in general, you've got a pretty stable lineup there. I mean, looking at the team that's been put together for the Bangladesh series, Jesh McFadden gets her opportunity. She's been around the team for a while, but hasn't had a chance to make her debut yet. But she'll take the gloves.
Yeah, she's got another opportunity with the gloves, and obviously Ben Sawyer being new this year, he wants to have a good look at everyone that's around leading into the 2020 World Cup. So there's a couple of changes, but he was pretty happy with how the team went in the West Indies, and we've got domestic cricket coming up too for him to have a look at everyone. But yeah, we've still got the old senior heads around, plus some really young, exciting players.
Yeah, which is good to see. I was going to ask you actually about the WBBL final. I know you guys lost in the final, but how was that experience playing over there for another season? I mean, I think you've been playing over there since, what, the Scorchers in 2015? I mean, how's that competition developed, do you think?
Yeah, it was a very cool experience, and I had the last couple of seasons off with my shoulder injury and then COVID, so it was nice to get back involved and a fresh start with a new team. And we had a pretty good season until we got to the final and had one of our worst games, so that's sometimes how cricket goes. But yeah, it was awesome. We played at North Sydney, which is the home ground for the Sixers, and a sold-out crowd, and how many young girls and boys were there for that game, and them sticking around after the game for autographs. And the competition, I think, is one of the best in the world, and it attracts the best players, and obviously the Australians are pretty good, and it was nice to play in the final, though it would have been better to have won. But yeah, it's good to be back home in New Zealand after that.
Yeah, I bet, mate. How does the level of the WBBL measure up against the Super Smash? Of course, that's where we're developing our players, probably not as many imports, but how do you find the level?
Yeah, it is a bit different, and I think that's just the depth of Australian women's cricket. You know, they have domestic players that are contracted all year round in all their state teams, so that just brings a little bit more depth into the game in terms of, you know, the bowlers and batters they have available from their domestic sides. And, yeah, I guess having overseas players, there's 2 to 3 in each team, it does lift the standard. But I guess the best players in the Super Smash are just as good as the best players in the WBBL. I think it is just about their list they're able to put together are more professional at the moment. But hopefully the Super Smash will get there one day.
Yeah, fingers crossed it gets there. I mean, it's a great development place for New Zealand players. But, I mean, you've played in both. And, you know, the Aussies obviously are a different beast, if you like. They approach the game differently, different mindset. Do you think that's something that we could learn from back here, particularly the young players coming through?
Yeah, I think that was one thing about the Sydney Sixers team in particular. Obviously, they've got world-class Australian players, and they're just so competitive. And look, we have some very competitive players in New Zealand, but I think that spreads across their domestic players. There's competition for spots in every single team, and every single game you're competing for your spot because there's someone banging on the door. So I think that's where they get that really competitive, ruthless edge from, because, you know, they have to keep improving their game to stay on their side. So I think, you know, when you create that depth, you do create that extra level of competitiveness even in your young players. So look, we're definitely going in the right direction, and it's so great to see the professionalisation of the game, and young players are now coming into the squad ready to go at international level. So I'm excited to see how some of our players go, and hopefully we have really healthy competition in the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing that I wanted to talk to you about in this interview, but we'll get to it now, actually. And that's the progression planning for the White Ferns. We've seen it with the Black Caps, you know, just of late, you know, with Martin Guptill giving way to Finn Allen, and the way that they've worked that that plan through the Black Caps and progressing young players up. You know, we've seen Amy Satterthwaite and Katie Martin step away in the last little while from the White Ferns. You and Sophie, of course, are two of the more senior players in the team who bring the bulk of our runs generally. How do you think that transition is going to go when you guys finally call time? And do you think that we have the depth of players coming through that can give us the runs at international level?
Yeah, it is always hard to know. And look, obviously a player like Sophie Devine, the way she plays is irreplaceable, and we're not going to find many more of that. But yeah, I think we've made some changes after the World Cup, which were tough at the time, but that's allowed space for the likes of players like Georgia Plimmer to play at international level, who's got a really bright future. And, you know, she's going to take a while to find her feet at this level, but we've at least given her that opportunity. And look, there are some really exciting programs coming through with the under-19 team going to a World Cup, and we'll start to see, you know, which players at that level are going to be the future for the White Ferns. And look, there's going to be a few holes when a few of the senior players do move on, but I also think the likes of, you know, Lauren Down, Brooke Halliday, Maddie Green have shown they've got what it takes, and sometimes it just takes for those senior players to get out of the way because, you know, when they're there, that's what you know. So, look, there's definitely an exciting future, and, you know, Amelia Kerr is only going to get better with the bat. So, yeah, it's not a huge concern, but I think Sophie and I are very motivated to keep playing with this young group while we're still contributing and loving our cricket. So hopefully that's a wee while around the corner that both of us give it up, and maybe, you know, we do it at different times so it's not such a big gap at the top order.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you mentioned Meli Kerr there because, I mean, she's a player that grabs a lot of headlines the way she plays the game, but almost think that her sister Jess has kind of been a little bit unsung because I think she's come on in leaps and bounds in the last 18 months, hasn't she, as a bowler?
Yeah, that is the nature of Jess Kerr. She's always in the background, in the shadow of her younger sister, but no, she's been awesome, and to see her get an opportunity at the WBBL and open the bowling for one of the best sides in the Brisbane Heat and do such a great job was awesome. And the thing with Jess as well, she can give the ball a good whack, so she is an all-rounder in my opinion, and she's going to get more opportunities with the bat. So yeah, but look, there's definitely some talent there, and New Zealand cricket are investing more and more in the game and our preparation, so I think those types of players are the ones that are going to shine.
Yeah. Well, where do you see her future in terms of in the order? Do you reckon she's an eight?
Yeah, I reckon she could sort of get in 2020 cricket, she could sneak up to that 6-7 position and sort of just go out there and change the momentum of the game. Yeah, she whacks in unorthodox areas and over the offside. So once she gets that confidence with the bat, I think she could be a genuine all-rounder, sort of lower order.
Yeah, you bolt like a bowling all-rounder.
Yeah, but a little bit just sort of Jacob Warren. he had a bit more leg side though. So
yeah. Did you know he used to be a goalkeeper? He used to play football and be a goalkeeper. That was the every time he played and was in the field and take a catch, the commentator would mention that. I remember that.
He told us a lot when he coached us. He mentioned it nearly every day.
you got to up yourself if no one else is going to do it, right?
Exactly.
Hey, how has the camp changed? And I don't know, maybe the focus, the direction, the type of cricket you want to play changed under Ben Sawyer?
Yeah, he's been really refreshing, and he's been around the women's game for a long time, and obviously with the Australians when they've been world champions. So, look, he's brought a fresh voice and fresh eyes to our group, and he's got some really good coaches around him in terms of a spin bowling coach and now Dean Brownlee, a specialist batting coach. So I think he's just pulled together a really good team to help move these young players forward, and he's just super organised, and he works hard. So we're training hard at the moment for this Bangladesh series because he's looking ahead to the 2020 World Cup, and that being our focus. So we're trying to get a bit more volume of training while we're together during the series. And yeah, I think he just he loves cricket, so that works for me because he just wants to train a lot, which is always nice. And yeah, he just knows the women's game so well, so he understands, you know, what it takes to be the best team in the world.
You mentioned Dean Brownlee as well. He's come in. Obviously, you know, you know your game. You've been very successful playing your game. How does a batting coach help someone like you, a senior player like you?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you say that, but there's always something you're tweaking or there's bad habits that still creep in, especially when you play a lot of 2020 cricket over the year and you don't necessarily have that time to focus on technical stuff. So, look, it's just getting to know him and then asking him to look out for a couple of things and if he notices anything in particular. And I guess then for the batting coach, it's just picking the right time to bring that up, because when you're in a playing phase, sometimes you don't want to be thinking too technical. So, yeah, it's just building a rapport and seeing how that works. And he's already joked at me. He's been told that he has to get his arm ready because I like to hit a lot of balls. So it's a good start that he understands that. But, yeah, no, I haven't worked with him yet, but I've heard really good things from the group so far.
That's great, mate. That's great. Looking at the at personal goals for you, I was looking through your ODI century list and I noticed I think you've got ODI centuries against seven different countries, but you don't have one against Bangladesh yet. I know you got the T20s first, but is that something that you have in your mind that you want to tick off?
Yeah, it's funny. As I've got older, I've probably moved away from those sort of milestones. And yeah, I guess you always go out there to contribute to the team, and scoring hundreds is always a nice feeling. So I think in the back of my mind, if I get in any of these one days, that's definitely going to be a goal. I think when you bat at the top of the order, you always have an opportunity to score hundreds. So it would be nice to do that, because then I'd be putting the team into a winning position. So, look, I haven't thought about it, but when I'm out in the middle and I get a start and if I know I bat deep, then I'm every chance of scoring 100. So it would be nice to get one against the Bangladesh team, because we haven't played them that often outside of World Cups.
No, exactly. Although I do notice that they're in your group for the T20 World Cup next year.
Yes, they are. So that's going to be a tough group. But I think those 2020 World Cups, they are tough. You've got to win at least three of your four games, and there's always tough opponents. You've got to start well. So, look, we have got an eye on that World Cup, because this group really thinks we can break into those semi-finals and cause a few upsets and go all the way. So that's how we're thinking, and this is, I guess, the start of that preparation.
All right. One of the other names that has come back in under Ben, who maybe wasn't there as much under Bob, is Leah Tahuhu back in. Big, strapping, fast bowler who likes to come to the crease and has a bit of aggro about her. What does she add to the attack, do you think?
Yeah, she gives us that bit of mongrel when she runs in with the ball, and she's ultra competitive. And look, I think Ben, from being involved with the Australian side and understanding what their batters thought of Leah and the respect they had, he thought it was a no-brainer to have her in the side. And look, she just brings that, I guess, energy when she opens the bowling with the ball and bowls with real intent and pace. And so it's great to have her around the group as well for our young fast bowlers, and for someone like Molly Penfold, for her to learn off Leah is really great, because Molly's going to be one of the quickest bowlers we've had for the White Ferns. So that's exciting. And yeah, it's great to have her back in the group, because she, you know, when you're in a fight, you want Leah with you.
Definitely. You'd rather have her with you than against you, right?
Exactly.
Hey, I was also wanted to sort of ask you about what players, what do you guys do? We've seen a lot of it, and I know you've got the games coming up here, but in November it's been pretty wet here, you may have noticed. What do you guys do as players? I know you're not allowed your phones, right, in the studio. So what do you do when you have rain delays? What do you guys do? How do you pass the time when you're waiting to get back out there?
Oh, no, don't talk about it. It's my worst nightmare, is I can't sit still. So rain on a cricket day is the worst possible scenario. So I'm trying not to give that energy, because the weather forecast looks a bit dodgy for Friday and Sunday. But, yeah, I do actually have a pack of cards in my cricket bag at the moment, just in case for that. Sometimes I'll take a book, but there is absolutely no chance with this group that you're going to find somewhere to sit and read. So I've been that off. There's often music. Meili Kerr will have the music out, and there might be some rogue dancing from a few people. But yeah, it's pretty much cards and music, I think, at the moment is pretty much how we fill our time. But look, you just pray that there's no rain, because I think this group goes a little bit crazy.
Yeah, nice. With the music, how much karaoke goes on, and who's the first one to lead the karaoke?
Yeah, sadly, at my age, it's still probably me. I love a good sing-along. So you probably have to try and steal the microphone off Meili, and we're the ones that usually get up there and try to encourage others, which is not always that easy. Hannah Rowe often gets up to help with the dancing, but she needs her arm twisted a few times. So, yeah, look, I'd have to say Meili and I probably play the terrible music and sing really loudly. Jess is the best singer, but the ones that can actually sing well are usually the ones that are a bit shy.
Yeah, and what's your go-to track? What are you going to open with?
At the moment, do you know what song actually often comes on? Is Soldier Boy.
Oh yeah,
because it's more of a crowd pleaser that you might, you know, you don't want to start with a slow ballad, because we might put everyone to sleep on a game day. So it's soften some more upbeat songs, and that's one of my go-tos.
Yeah, nice. So we just had a text come through, not about your singing actually, Susie. Although we might get to that again shortly. Are you still bowling a bit? And we're likely to see you with a ball in hand.
Well, actually, I've been reinvented, as some call it off spin, some just call it slow bowling. But yeah, in the West Indies, I had been bowling a bit in the nets just to help out with sparks and just a few offies off the short run. And then our new bowling coach, kind of helped me when we were in the nets. And we played on very slow wickets, and I got a few overs in the West Indies and took a few wickets, which was entertaining to some. But yeah, I have been working on a little few offies, but yeah, it's more nude spin. But yeah, it might be handy next year when we play in Sri Lanka and India, but on flat wickets. I think it's going to go the distance.
So it's more about flight and guile, as they call it, than turn.
No, I don't even know if it's flight and guile. I think it's just like straight at the stump.
Right.
That's all it is.
Line and length. Gav Larson, dibbly dobblies.
Yeah, similar actually. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Hey, Susie, thanks very much for giving us some time. I know you only just got back in the country. The last thing you probably wanted to do was jump on the phone this morning rather than go out and have a bat. So we'll let you go and do that and test Dean Brownlee's arm out, mate. And best of luck for the series. Hopefully it's sunny and we get to see you play some cricket and put some runs on the board.
No worries. No, it's good to be chatting to Kiwis again. So appreciate the chat. And yeah, looking forward to the series. So let's not talk about the rain, and hopefully the cards stay in the bag.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed. Good stuff, Susie. Go well. All the best to the
team. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
See ya.